We're carrying on in 1 Peter, page 1152, and chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. And we've been working through this letter of 1 Peter written to Christians under pressure. And this next bit that we're going to look at, 2 verses 9 to 12, is really the turning point, because Peter changes gear from telling us who we are as believers into how we should live in a world which, where frankly we're a minority, often we're a powerless minority, and it's a world that around us doesn't get Jesus. We may at times feel very small in the world's eyes, but who are we really? Here's Peter's answer, verse 9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. If that's who we are, how should we live? Peter goes on, dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Now, as is typical of the whole letter, we could spend 50 minutes on these verses, let alone the five that I've got left. Jeremy's going to count. But there's one thing that joins these two halves together, and it's the theme of praising God. Because the whole point is that out there, there is a God who is real, alive, holy, good, powerful, wise, faithful, just, humble, and yet also strong and magnificent and worthy of all of our worship, because he's all of these things perfectly, and all of these things in perfect combination. If we were to meet this God, we could do nothing but fall down and worship him. He's worthy of all of our worship. The stuff we do in church here, yes, but also how that then overflows into lives of faithful obedience. God is worthy of all our worship, but he's also worthy of all of everyone's worship. And Peter is going to outline in the rest of the letter then how us as Christians living our faith out there can actually change people's minds and draw others in to worship and praise and value God and to get Jesus. But who are we? Peter's answer, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, God's special possession, so that we ourselves can declare the praises of him who's called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Yeah, we don't deserve it, but God has stepped down and stepped into our lives and rescued us so that we can declare his praise. And that means that however the week is going, whatever the boss may be thinking about you right now, Peter wants you and I, and God, through Peter, wants you and I to know that God wants to spend eternity with each one of us. God sees each one of us as his treasured and special possession. And that then is a reason to praise and worship and enjoy him that no worldly circumstance can take away from us. See, when we remember the gospel, remember how much God loves us, that Jesus even died for us, that gives us a reason to worship our God, our rescuer, and ultimately the lover of our souls. We've been saved to declare his praise, but we've also been saved to live the kinds of lives, the kinds of holy, loving lives, a bit like he's a holy, loving God, that ultimately provoke his praise in other people. Verse 12, live such good lives among the pagans that though they may accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Peter's very honest. Peter knows that living for Christ won't always be popular. You know, in a world where the bottom line is everything and it doesn't matter how you get there, then for those of us for whom pleasing God is more important still than the bottom line, then there's the potential for conflict. But as well as being aware that as believers we're going to be vindicated finally, eternally, fully on the day when Jesus arrives, Jesus returns, there's this sense that runs through the whole of the letter of 1 Peter that people's minds can be changed now. As people see us, Christians, ordinary Christians, living for Jesus as our Lord, but empowered by his supernatural Holy Spirit, then what they first saw as evil deeds, their eyes might be opened and they will slowly start to see them as the good deeds that they truly, truly are. God is going to visit us on the day when Jesus returns, but he visits us before then. Say, he visited me when I was at school, at secondary school, through a friend whose godliness and not pushing back on all of the flak flying around made me start to consider Christianity. He visited me then when the gospel was preached to me and when the Holy Spirit came into my life and I was born again and I was made a new creation in Christ. Maybe he did something similar to you. Certainly, he can visit your friends, your family, your colleagues, those who you've been praying for, those you want to reach out to. You see, that kind of shifting of things that look evil in the world's eyes one day to actually seeing them in their true value in Christ can happen in all sorts of ways. You know, your commitment to kindness and honesty, that sort of thing that might mean that the boss, you have a slight reputation of not having that killer edge in negotiations. That might actually be the very thing which for all of eternity your boss is praising Christ for, because that was the thing they noticed. That was the thing that started them on their journey to knowing and discovering Jesus for themselves. You know, that patient witness was not of no value. That patient witness was of eternal value. We have each one of us, if we're Christians, been saved by God to enjoy him. So let's make the most of worship, whichever decade it was written in. We have also been saved, though, to just live lives of integrity and godliness that will then provoke other people to start praising Jesus too. So to God be all the glory. Amen.